Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet. Go over there, get at them. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for an episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Pendlin, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Me and Ben coming to you guys on a different day, man. It's Wednesday, October 25th, 2023. Got an event tomorrow after work, so we figure we do the podcast a day early. I don't have as many bets prepared in NFL as I do in college football. I cap almost all the college football games today. So realistically, I do them on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I'm pretty much locked in for the week on college football. Ben, how are we doing today, man?
I'm the opposite of you. I do NFL first. Okay. But I'm good. I'm ready to get back. Not our best week, but we had a couple good in a row to kind of mold it all together. So let's get back on the wagon here. 0-3 for me in college football last week, 2-3 for you. That brings the podcast college football record to 39-35-2. 1-2 in the NFL, and for me, an 0-4 for you. That brings NFL to 22-18-1. It was rough after hyping ourselves up the week before.
What happens, man? You know what they say, pride comes before a fall. Yeah, I got my ass handed to me in NFL. I actually went 1-6 this last week in NFL after going 6-1 the week before. But it's pretty funny, honestly, to see people come at you after having a tough day. I just asked them all. I was like, "Hey, man, I didn't hear from you when I went 8-0 in college football last weekend, and then 5-1 the following day on NFL." So you know, shit happens. It is what it is, Ben. We'll get back to them. We're having a profitable season. That's all that matters. It's about the whole season. Week to week, shit will happen. I'm pretty sure last year the same thing happened too, where I had a 0 for a week. So I knew one was coming. But anyway, before we get into today's picks, guys, because we don't have as many picks as usual, we're just going to talk some quick topics here. Ben, first of all, let's check in on our preseason Final Four predictions. I had Michigan, Florida State, LSU, and Texas in mind. What was your preseason prediction?
Michigan, LSU, Florida State, and Georgia.
Okay, so we both look pretty live, except for the fact you could still get Georgia and LSU in there. Realistically, what's going to have to happen is you need LSU and Texas to get up. You didn't say Texas, right?
No.
Yeah, the Pac-12 could cannibalize itself. The Big 12 could as well. And then I still, let's talk about the SEC first, Ben. Alabama's still alive. They play a huge game next week against LSU. That's going to determine everything. Look, Ben, call me crazy. I was talking about this with somebody. Right now, I mean, you're going to absolutely hate this take, but right now, I think LSU is the best team in college football. I think they may have figured out their defense, and if my opinion is correct that they figured out their defense,
I think they're the best team in college football. Their offense is unbelievable. When you look at the numbers Jaden Daniels is putting up, he's actually like hacked the numbers he's putting up. They're absolutely insane. Oh, yeah. Like,
he's my Heisman winner.
He has like a 70 plus completion percentage on passes 20 yards past the line of scrimmage. Like, Jaden Daniels, what he's doing right now is absolutely incredible. They just, their defense just didn't show up in two games before them. And I mean, they had to play against a better Florida State team. Do you think they have a chance of getting in here with two losses if they can win out?
They would need help from everyone else. But they would win in Tuscaloosa, then, assuming you said it went out, so beat Georgia in the SEC championship, which would be two amazing wins on their resume. I just think that we haven't seen a two-loss team in the playoff yet, so I don't think they would put him in over a one-loss team that you can easily make a case for, whoever that may be.
If Georgia has one loss and that scenario plays out with Georgia losing to LSU in the SEC championship, does Georgia get in with one loss, or do we see the SEC get skunked?
I think if Georgia's one loss is to LSU in the SEC championship game, I think LSU deserves to be in over Georgia. I don't think Georgia's wins are going to help them out much.
I agree. And Ben, Alabama and Missouri could be the sleeping dark horses right now. What do you think about Alabama? Well, actually, first, let me say this. I agree. I think if LSU wins out, as long as that you don't have an undefeated champion from the Big 12 or an undefeated champion from the Pac-12, I think that LSU could definitely mess around and get in here. I still think the Pac-12 might completely cannibalize itself. That's where I'm sitting right now. Like, I think Washington looks pretty good. I put in a future on Washington to win it all the week before they played Oregon, which ended up being a good value play, but I'm not sold on Washington necessarily. I do think they kind of like sleepwalked that last game, but every single team has some tough games left to play. Utah's the sleeping giant. That going to Utah, going to Oregon State, almost every single team has to go to either Utah or Oregon State that still has a chance to make it, and those teams will lose. And I mean, Oregon State's sitting here too, not even getting any hype right now with one loss, but at the same time, the Beavers are only -3.5 this week against Arizona. That feels like a trap line. Do you think anyone can come out of the Pac-12?
Yeah, I do. A one-loss Pac-12 champion, I think, is a good chance to get in.
You think we'll get one with one loss?
That's between those four teams you just mentioned?
It's between Oregon, Washington, Oregon State, and...
Well, Oregon has one loss now, right? And Utah has one loss now?
Yes, correct.
So loser of this week's game, Oregon at Utah, is out.
Yeah, so exactly.
Gives us three teams left. If they all play each other, do all four of those teams play each other?
Let me.
I don't think one team wins all of them.
Yeah, I believe that Utah still plays. I think Utah has to play at what? Let me look right here. Jeez, I'm so ADHD, man. I already jumped around from the SEC to the Pac-12. Utah has to go on the road at Washington, so. Utah and Washington, I mean, there could be one of them could walk away with one loss. I mean, Utah pretty much has Oregon, Washington, Arizona left as hard games. I don't count Colorado as a tough game. But, I mean, the way we sit here right now, I just think that Washington's going to have such a tough road, man. Like, the fact that Washington, I believe, let me double check to see if they have to play at Oregon State or not. But I don't know, Ben. Like, I did Penix. Like, Penix kind of looked hurt in that game. Now, don't get me wrong. I was watching that game with one eye open at that point during the Saturday. It's been a long day, but yeah.
Pouring rain. He had two interceptions and a fumble the first half. That's bad.
Exactly. And they still have to play at Oregon State in Corvallis. I mean, going at USC doesn't look tough. Utah at home. I mean, I just don't think Washington's going to go unscathed here. We've seen Pac-12 champions lose too many times in the Pac-12 championship and get skunked from the playoff. I think if there's multiple conferences where somebody has two losses, that LSU will get in as a two loss champion. Because I really do think they're the best team in the nation. I just think their defense sucks, but their offense, I think every single team's pretty flawed. And before I get past that, Ben, do you think Missouri can win at Georgia? Because they still have to play Tennessee and Florida at home, and then at Arkansas, which should be a cakewalk.
No, I do not think they can win at Georgia.
I don't know, man. I feel like Missouri could potentially win at Georgia, but at the same time, I don't think they beat LSU in a rematch.
I got to see how Georgia's offense looks before I change my mind, but no.
When those
teams that we talk about all the time, the kind of Tennessees, but really it's like Kentucky and it's Arkansas and it's Missouri, they play the class above and typically get run out of the gym. Now, Missouri did not get run out of the gym the last time they played Georgia. This time it's in Athens. I think that's a completely different environment for a team to go on the road to try to keep it close. But we'll see. I got to see how Georgia's new offense looks. I'll be at the game.
See, Missouri has two quality wins, though, in my opinion. They beat Kansas State. I mean, they did lose to LSU. But, yeah, that's going to be – that really is going to be one hell of a game. Do you think Georgia is going to be able to make it through the rest of the season unbeaten? Because I don't. I feel like the fact that they have to run the gauntlet here, they play Tennessee, Missouri, Ole Miss, and Florida. Now, we'll talk about the Florida game. I do have a best bet in that game. I actually don't think – I actually think Florida is going to end up getting stomped in this game. But I just think Georgia's going to drop a game to one of these teams, man. Without Brock Bowers in there, I'm just not impressed, Ben, with what I'm seeing out of this Dogs team week in and week out.
I just want to see what it looks like because, like, yeah, your security blanket, one of the best players in the country, is out. But, like, Oscar Delp was a 4 or 5-star receiver, tight end that's coming to play. He's played this year in 2 tight end sets and looks just fine. He's obviously not the bailout guy like Bowers, but – I'll kind of, when we talk about this game, I also have a bet in this game. I think we're going to see a little bit of a tune up in Georgia's offense. I guess I'll explain it more unless you just want to go into the picks now.
Now, let's wait a little bit more. I want to talk a couple more things because I know all y'all follow me on Twitter know where I'm leading with this conversation we're having. Last thing I want to say on this, though, Ben, is respectfully, Delp is good, but he is not Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is one of probably the 5 most elite players. Like, when I just look at this Georgia offense, man, I don't see like that George Pickens. I don't see, without Bowers in there, they don't have that guy. You know, like they don't have a Todd Gurley, Nick Chubb, Keith Marshall. They don't have that running back anymore. I think George is very vulnerable, and I think somebody's going to come in and get them. I know I said I was going to bet the other team's money line. We'll talk about it later, but I think Missouri next week will get me started betting money lines against Georgia.
My coach of the year prediction would be funny. Just based on recent news, I have Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, let's Ben read my mind. Perfect segue. Let's talk about Jim Harbaugh. First of all, Ben, I'm going to say this. I absolutely refuse to believe that this Michigan team is that much better than everybody. One, this team is cheating, and it's been proven. That makes sense how they've been running shit in the Big Ten. The only team actually they didn't scout last year was TCU, and TCU sucked, and they got embarrassed. TCU and Kansas State were
TCU poor. Did not suck.
Okay, sorry, they didn't suck, but these teams were proven, TCU and Kansas State, that they were not on the level of Ohio State. They were not on the level of Georgia. They're not on the level of a lot of these teams in the nation. Like, Kansas State got blown out by Alabama in their bowl game, and Alabama had nothing to play for in that game. And TCU got blown out by Georgia. I wouldn't say they sucked, but they proved that they were a class below. And Michigan lost to them in a game that, I mean, I'm not trying to hate on Michigan too much here, but honestly, it was not that close of a game. TCU was in control almost the entire game. Like, Michigan is a class below everybody in college football, and I think it is absolutely freaking ridiculous that people are hyping this Michigan team up like they're the best team in the nation. Nobody can beat them, this, that, and the other. And 99% of college football fans can't even name a wide receiver on this team. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they lose in Happy Valley. The good thing is for them, they play the biggest joke of a schedule I've ever seen, Ben.
Yeah, they get 2 hard games in the regular season. I don't really care about this story until they get like
same.
More evidence. This is – I don't – who cares?
Calling Penn State a hard game is generous.
No, not when you play there.
No, I know. I'm just messing around. I'm just trying to get on the entire Big Ten. But in all seriousness, though, I think Penn State is a little overrated. Like, I want to see them play in LSU. I don't think they would beat Missouri, if I'm being honest with you. I don't think they have the offense to.
Here's the thing. I get that Michigan has played no schedule, and you're just going to rebuttal with they've played nobody. You can say that all you want. They're giving up less than 10 points a game. They're playing other players who have Division I scholarships. That's insane. You are smiling. You can say all you want that they're playing nobody. They are suffocating these bad teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll give them credit. They don't really know how to – the Harbaughs are bullies, man. In the NFL, Ben's talked about it a million times. It's one of his gambling principles. The Ravens bully bad teams. Michigan bullies bad teams. Let's see them play somebody. That's all I'm saying, guys. Before we put JJ McCarthy as the Heisman Trophy favorite, as we put Michigan for the national championship favorite, can we at least fucking see them play one team?
What's interesting is Donovan Edwards is not having a good start to the season.
He's not. Ben, what's you want to talk about the stat you sent me, the disparity between him and Corum? I believe you showed me like how many more carries and yards and everything.
I might have to pull that up.
Yeah, but anyway, though, guys, look, I'm not saying that Michigan shouldn't be ranked in the top 25. I'm not even saying they shouldn't be ranked in the top 10. I'm just saying they shouldn't be anointed as the best team in college football until they actually do something. Georgia, on the other hand, I'll defend Georgia with this. I think Georgia can be anointed the best team in college football until they lose to somebody, because they've won two national championships and haven't lost a regular season game in over 2 years. Until Michigan does that, they can't have the hype. Until then, they can't have it.
Last 3 weeks, Blake Corum has 15 carries, 13 carries, and 9 carries. Donovan Edwards has, in those same weeks, 6, 9, and 4.
Wow. Okay, so Donovan Edwards is tailing off. Anyway, Ben, last topic here before we get to the actual picks here, and if we have a little bit of time, we can talk some NFL at the end. Do you think that right now, if you had to bet someone to win the Heisman Trophy, would you bet J.J. McCarthy or would it be somebody else?
Who's 2, 3, and 4?
Let's see. You know? I believe it's Michael Penix is 2. Let's see here. The Heisman Trophy odds are currently, I believe it's Penix, then it's J.J. McCarthy, Penix, then Daniels.
I would bet the field versus J.J. McCarthy, if that's the question.
Yeah, I would definitely bet the field.
Where's Bo Nix?
Bo Nix is, he's not even, Bo Nix is at 12 to 1. He is tied with Jordan Travis for fourth.
My money would be on Bo Nix if I did a lot. I think he's got a good chance to go in Utah and beat Utah this week. And I think he'll have a good chance to get revenge on Washington in the Pac-12 title game.
I personally think that Oregon is going to lose two more games in the regular season. I think it starts. I'll talk about the game when I get there. But
I'm just saying, if you're someone that believes they're going to beat Utah,
yeah,
I think they have a good chance. They do still have to play Oregon State, but. Like, he's got the games in front of him. He's got three big – he could have three big games in front of him. He's got two for sure.
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel's also tied with him. So, I think, actually, if you're someone who believes Georgia's going to win out, I think Carson Beck might actually be the bet to take at this point in time. But I'm going to stick to my guns, Ben. Before the season, I picked him. I'm still going to stick with him now. I think Jordan Travis and Jaden Daniels are the two best bets.
I had Daniels.
Yeah, you did have Daniels. I think those are the two best bets, because if Jaden Daniels goes into Tuscaloosa and wins next week, you're going to see him go to – you're going to see his odds soar even more. And then if Jaden Daniels comes out and wins again – so I think the only way to play it at this point is Bo Nix, Penix, Daniels, and Travis. And gun to my head, I have to pick one. I'm still going to rock with my pick, Jordan Travis, since it's not dead. But if I had to go away from that one, I'm taking Jaden Daniels, because I think LSU might run the table.
I don't, because I think they lose in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, because Ben's an Alabama fan. Ben, last thing before we go to the picks. I know I said that before that one. Do you think Alabama is going to make the college football playoff?
I'm trying to think of what the line would be in the SEC championship right now. What do you think it would be?
Probably Georgia minus like 6.5.
I think we miss it. I think we miss it. I know you do. I mean, you have LSU obviously beating Bama. I think Bama wins the game at home. I don't know. I think the team, they're patching up holes. They really are. It's like that Flex Seal commercial. They're patching up holes. I feel like everyone they patch up, a small one opens somewhere.
Yeah. Ask me again next week, because right now I think LSU.
They're in a good position. Tell you that they're in a good position to go.
Bama definitely is. I think Bama will beat Georgia if they play each other in the SEC championship. So we'll revisit this again next week, how I feel about them. Of course, my dog comes in here and wants to play fetch while we're in the middle of the podcast. Ben, let's get to the picks though, man. That's what everybody's here to hear about, rather than hearing me get all ADHD and jump around talking about college football conspiracy theories. Ben, where do you want to take us to start things off on Saturday?
Starting at noon. Do not be afraid of the big number. Do not be afraid of the big number. Penn State minus 32.5 against Indiana. I think Penn State smashed. They smashed bad teams. We saw that in the beginning of the year before they started playing Ohio State. They played a lot of bad teams. They were smashing them. IU's bad, dude. Struggling to score in back-to-back weeks against Michigan and Rutgers, and I think Penn State's got a better defense than both those teams. I like a little bit of bounce back for Allard and the boys. Penn State's rushing defense is horrible, and that's exactly what Penn State does as their strength. Give me 32.5.
Ben, I kind of love the pick. I'm not going to play it personally, but I was listening to somebody talk about this earlier in the week. James Franklin covers the spread because that's the only thing that keeps him employed at this point in time. When you lose all the big games, but you cover the spread, the boosters are happy because you put money in their pocket, because we all know they're the ones who take these biggest spreads and come to all the games. For me, I somehow pulled up last week's notes on accident. Give me one quick second here. All right, now here's my current notes. Of course, I pulled up last week's. I'm going to start out on the noon slate as well. Give me FSU minus 20.5 against Wake Forest. I know we're going to be on the road here. I know there's going to be all kinds of people going to say FSU hadn't played well yet on the road this season. I dare you to take Wake Forest. I really do, if you want to sit here and say that. Wake Forest has zero offense, and they played a backup QB last week. I don't even care if their starting quarterback plays this week. In fact, I hope Mitch Griffiths plays because he sucks. Give me a break, Wake Forest. Wake Forest has gotten beat up on whenever they've tried to play a team class up. They've beaten up on FSU in the past as well, and this is a perfect time for FSU to get right and run the score up on them. FSU scored 38 points last week against the fifth-best defense in all of college football by points per game. I think FSU comes out here and hangs a 50-burger on Wake Forest in their sleep. Give me FSU to win this game 52-7. Get back to the old-school Jameis Winston days.
This is actually my last pick in college. That was 20.5, right?
Yeah, that was 20.5.
I'm going to this game. Georgia, Florida. I'll be there with my dad in Jacksonville.
Let's go.
So I hinted at it earlier. So I think we should see a little bit different of a Georgia offense.
I agree.
I think we're going to see a lot more deep balls. And I think that they have the players to do it. McConkey looks healthy now. Or I'm reading that he's healthier now. What's his name? Jackson Rosemary Saint, something like that.
Yeah, it's a double last name.
Yeah, deep ball. I believe he got hurt in the Florida game last year. A little bit of revenge from him. He's been better this year. And like I said, like Bowers was the underneath guy, the safety guy. Let's get the ball in space a little bit. And I think Florida will be able to score some points early in this game until the second half adjustments come in. I'm going to take the over 47.
Ben, this is my strongest play of the week. Give me the over 47 as well. On top of what Ben said, because I have all the same things written down. Florida's 111th in the nation in giving up the explosive pass. I think Florida should be able to move the ball, though, in this game. I like their offense. I think they'll be able to use play action. So I know I said, guys, that I thought I was going to start betting money line against Georgia starting this week. I actually think Georgia might blow the doors off them in this game. I think Georgia will come in focused off a bye. And like Ben said, they're going to have their offense ramped up and they're going to be ready to throw downfield. So I'm going to take the over with Ben. Dude, this number is ridiculous too low. I make this number 60. So I think we go over this number easily. Wouldn't be shocked at halftime to see it. And also, too, Carson Beck was 7th of the nation entering last week in passing yards. He didn't play, so now he's 13th. Don't sleep on this dog's offense, man. They can really air it out.
I had it like 38-16 range, something.
I'm going to say 38-20, so I'm about the same as you. Let's talk about all my plays, guys, pretty much are at 3:30. I'm going to have like six plays in at 3:30, so 3:30 I might need like four TVs. I told Ben about this one, so don't put me down for this one right now because I haven't officially taken it yet. I'm going to be all over Texas and the over against BYU. BYU is hot garbage, but I think that the number will come down more with Malik Murphy playing quarterback once the casuals realize that they're going to keep taking BYU. So I'm going to wait to see if I can get a better number, but I'm going to be all over that game. Give me Memphis minus 7.5 against North Texas, Ben. North Texas is bottom 10 in all of college football in yards per game and points per game. Memphis's offense actually has some legit weapons who will play on Sundays. Seth Hennigan, the quarterback, solid. I don't know if he will, but Blake Watson, their running back, already has over 600 yards rushing. He's going to run all over them. Rock Taylor and Mr. Blankensee are some dogs out there at wide receiver. I think Memphis is going to throw the football all over them. 7.5 is not even close to enough points. Memphis wins by 3 touchdowns. Memphis's offense will simply be too much. Let's go to another game, Ben, that we talked about on here when we're talking about hypotheticals. I'm going to go to the longest active home winning streak in college football. Give me the Utah Utes +7 in this game against Oregon. I think they win the game outright, but I'm going to take the 7 just to be safe. First of all, there's a huge coaching discrepancy in this game. Kyle Whittingham is a way better head coach than Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning lost his team a game already. Kyle Whittingham might be one of the best minds in college football. I can't think of their defensive coordinator's name either, but he is a beast. Bo Nix on the road, Ben. We've been talking about it ever since we've been doing this podcast. He's Bo Nix. Bo Nix is going to have an outing, and Utah hasn't lost at home since 2018, where in the third game of the season, they lost to Washington in heartbreaking fashion. That's excluding the COVID year. Give me the longest winning streak in college football to keep going. We're going to have a huge upset in Washington. Ben, anything you want to say about this game?
Pac-12 team playing at home. We talk about it every week. It's one of the best environments, one of the best coaches, not named Nick or Kirby.
Yes, sir. It's going to be a hell of a game. I can't wait to watch it, guys. And my last play, this is my second strongest play of the week behind the Georgia game total going over. Louisville -4 against Duke. I know I thought Louisville is a fraudulent team. Well, Duke's quarterback, Riley Leonard, isn't going to play in this game. Louisville is off a bye week and they're focused. So I would actually argue that I think Louisville has the most underrated home field advantage in all of college football. Everybody wants to talk about SEC home field advantage. Everyone wants to talk about Oregon State and Utah are finally getting the respect they deserve. Playing at Louisville is a tough-ass place to play. These fans are going to come out there fired up. Duke ran the ball well last week against Florida State, but Louisville's run defense is stout. They held Notre Dame to 44 rushing yards, and Audric Estime only had 20 yards rushing in that game. I don't think Riley Leonard is going to play here. Once Bellerin announces a starting quarterback, this game will close probably at 6.5, if not 7. Bellerin is not even competent at quarterback. He was 1-for-6 passing last week in about a quarter's worth of play against Florida State, and he was 4-for-12 against NC State. NC State just blows. That's how they were able to win that game. Give me Louisville to destroy them in this game. Ben, anything else you want to talk about on the college slate before we go to NFL?
Nope, we're good. I'll recap at the end.
Sounds good. Let's get things rolling over here to the NFL portion of things. Ben, you've been quiet for a while, letting me rattle off some picks. Let's hear one from you.
Yeah, so I don't typically do this often. I don't typically take a division road favorite, but I'm in the business of doing it this week. Eagles -6.5 against the Commanders. I think I'm predicting the wheels are officially going to fall off here. We've heard Ron Rivera's name about how bad he's mismanaged games recently. I think they go on a losing streak. If you look at their, I want to pull up their schedule real quick. This is Washington, who sits at 3-4 right now. Okay.
Okay.
They're home against Philly. Obviously, I'm predicting that's a loss. They go at New England. I think it's a bad time to play New England right now.
Okay.
They go at Seattle. Then they're home against the Giants, then at Dallas, then home against Miami. There could be two wins in those. I think the losses start stacking up. I think they start against Philly against this great, great pass rush, and I'm going to take the Eagles -6.5.
Yeah, it's probably smart. Like you said, Sam Howell's the most sacked quarterback in the NFL by far, so the Eagles pass rush will probably destroy him in this game. For me, I know this one moved a good bit.
I think I'm going to bet against Washington until Ron Rivera is fired.
Smart move. I think he probably has two games left.
Coming. Yeah, I think it's coming.
I think he can make it through the Eagles game. They'll be like, oh, it's the Eagles. But after this one, he's donezo. I'm going to take the Falcons on the money line -130. First of all, Will Levis is going to be playing in this quarterback in this game. Will Levis is booty cheeks, Ben. We've been talking about it a million times. Will Levis should not be a quarterback in this league. There's a reason why he fell so far down the board. Falcons defense is really good, man. They have the 9th best defense in the NFL, also 9th in points per game. I think the entire Titans team might be checked out,
is
man.
Is that 9th in points per game given up?
Yeah, 9th in points per game given up.
I don't think our offense – I was going to say, I don't think the offense is top 10.
No. Hell no. We're a defensive football team, Ben.
Ritter, when talking about turnovers in the red zone, he said, we have to be better.
I'll slap you, Desmond. I don't know if you saw or not. They had like that DoorDash commercial where Ritter was delivering the food. I was like, Ritter's new job in a few weeks. But anyway, the Titans cannot defend the pass. They're 25th against the pass. I really think they're going to blow this team up, and I don't think this team cares anymore. Give me the Falcons to come on the road and get another big road win and take sole control over this division, even though they're already in first place.
Baltimore -8 for me. There is, I forget what it is, should have written it down, but there's a stat about Lamar against the NFC, and he absolutely dominates the NFC conference. Defense is rolling right now. I'm going to take the Ravens -8.
Yeah, the Ravens are my pick in my survivor pool. So anyway, for my last pick on this NFL slate, be honest with you guys, I haven't capped enough NFL yet, but Ben and I talked about it on text. I texted Ben and I said, I will never bet against Mike Tomlin again when he is an underdog. It's either Steelers or pass. And when they're favorites, I will fade them. Well, what do we have here? We have the Pittsburgh Steelers catching 2.5 at the crib versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'm going to take the points here, 2.5. Mike Tomlin's 18-5-3 ATS as a home underdog. The Steelers team literally makes no sense to me. The only thing that makes sense to me is the line. If the Steelers are the underdog, we take them. This team, it feels like every single game looks absolutely inept on offense for three quarters. Then in the fourth quarter, Kenny Pickett pulls some throw out of his ass to hit George Pickens down the field for a massive chunk play that ends up winning the game. I don't know what it is. I'm going to stop thinking of it. This is my hold your butt special of the week. Give me Pittsburgh.
I'm in the same game. We don't have the same bet, though.
Is it the under?
I'm going to take the Jags at Steelers under 42. It looks like possible rain in the forecast. A Steelers offense seems like it just won't get going this entire season. I'm going to trust the Steelers defense until I feel uncomfortable doing so. That's my plan with them.
How did I know you were on the under, Ben? But also, too, Kenny Pickett's still ranked like 28th in like quarterback EPA and all those stats. So, I mean, it's not like he's doing anything special.
I got one more, and I'm shocked you're not on this. So I might be taking this. Let's talk about Rams +6.5 at Dallas. Sean McVay is one of the best coaches in the NFL, coming off a loss against the spread.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a very you type of stat. It popped on my eyes like 20 minutes before this. And why are you not on the Rams? Have you just not looked at it yet?
What was the stat one more time?
Sean McVay's hitting at like after a loss, mm-hmm. the Rams are like covering against the spread at like 60 or 63%.
That is a pretty good stat. To be honest with you, I like my entire trends and spread and stuff that I look through and like my injury report and stuff that I need to look at gets to me about 7 o'clock today. So I just really haven't had a chance to cap all the games, but I do like where your head's at on this game. I was looking at this one as a potential play too on the Rams.
I was going to see if I could find it real quick. Are they playing in primetime this week?
No, I believe it's a 1 o'clock game.
The Rams are 23-13-4 against the spread after a loss under Sean McVay. That cover of 63.9% is the second best in the NFL since 2017. I don't know anything about this Cowboys team.
I agree.
I think they're good. I don't know how good, though.
No, I'm 100% with you on this.
Give me Rams. Add Rams +6.5 to my card.
I like it. I'll probably come back in and take this one with Ben.
To recap real quick, college football, my plays, Penn State -32.5, Georgia, Florida over 47. Thomas has Florida State -20.5, Georgia, Florida over 47, Memphis -7.5, Utah +7, Louisville -4. In the NFL, my picks, Eagles -6.5, Jags at Steelers under 42, Ravens -8, Rams +6.5, and Thomas is finishing off with Falcons money line and Steelers +2.5.
Let's get this money this week, Ben. It's our bounce back week. Why not us?
That's right. Quick Hawks preview real quick. What do you think? You're the NBA guy.
All right, what do I think about the Hawks? I think Hawks.
Did you do an NBA podcast? And I just
no, I actually didn't do an NBA podcast, man. Look, I used to love doing the NBA podcast, but this last season they really pissed me off with how they like didn't care about the regular season. So I was just like, honestly, I'm not going to waste 2 hours out of my day and about 5 hours prepping because it takes me a while to prep for these podcasts. So I was like, I'm not going to waste my time with this shit this year. But let's talk about the Hawks real quick. I actually like the Hawks' outlook a lot for this season. I think that signing Okongwu, Ben broke the news to me. It was a nice little pickup. I mean, we picked him up for cheap. This guy's barely even played, so we got a good deal on him. But I like this Hawks roster. Let's not forget, Quinn Snyder had the number one offense when he was the head coach in Utah, and they got the number one overall seed in the entire NBA. I think he can come around and do the exact same thing here with the Hawks team. Not saying they'll necessarily be the number one seed, but I think the Hawks can be a top four seed in the regular season and be one of the better regular season teams this year. Ultimately, in the playoffs, I don't think they match up well with the Bucks or with the Celtics, but I think the Hawks have a great core, and I think getting rid of John Collins is addition by subtraction. There we go. What do you think?
I mean, I'm not the largest NBA guy, to be honest with you. Someone texted me today, and he was like, Dante DiVincenzo over 1.5 threes. And I was like, you could give me five guesses, and I don't know who he plays for. I found out he plays for the Knicks, and that's a good guess because every Villanova player is on the Knicks.
Well, I didn't actually even know he played on the Knicks either, to be honest with you.
It's just they move around too much.
I mean, I can tell you.
Hawks because I now have a friend slash roommate who works for the Hawks, so I will obviously support my team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're supposed to be good, but I don't think they're anywhere close to the top dogs in the East, though. I think it's like Milwaukee, Boston, and then anyone after that is like fair game. I think the Cavs are very similar to the Hawks. Mm-hmm. I think the Sixers are very similar to the Hawks. I think they're a little worse, but I don't know. Like, are the Nets? I don't know. Are the Nets supposed to be surprising this year? I just know the Cavs are like really good. The Hawks are really good, but they're below the top two dogs.
Yeah, I think the Nets will be I think the Hawks and the Cavs will be the regular season triad teams, and the Kings.
Knicks usually are.
Yeah, the Knicks definitely usually are. Yeah, I honestly don't think the Nets will be that good this year. I think they got lucky that Durant and Kyrie spotted them all those wins. But yeah, I think the Hawks can be like third or fourth best team in the East this year. So I think it'll be a solid season, but ultimately it's just so hard to get over the hump, man, when you got to play against the big dogs, you know?
They got a pretty deep roster of names that like everyone knows. I was looking at the bench and like, good for Wesley Matthews still being in the league. Patty Mills, I've always loved Patty Mills. Welcome to the Hawks. Missed that signing. Sadiq Bey starting or coming off the bench?
Sadiq Bey's starting. He's at the four.
So Jalen Johnson's coming off the bench then?
Yeah. Deep team.
Yeah, I mean, Johnson, Okongwu, Wesley Matthews, Patty Mills off the bench. Like, these are all names that I'm aware of. So I think it's a pretty solid team to me.
Yeah, also, too, they also have Bogdanovich off the bench as well, which is huge.
Ooh,
so
he's not starting anymore.
Yeah, Bogey off the bench, man. I'm telling you, this Hawks team's deep, man. They're gonna
he was off the bench last year. Yeah, we got DeJounte.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. He might win six man of the year.
He's just got to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. He could win six man of the year. So Hawks got a good outlook. They got a stacked up roster. Should be a fun season to watch. Ben, anything else from you before we get out of here?
I saw Shaq pick the Hawks to win the title. To see what is that about?
No way. I didn't even see that.
I think he said it on NBA TNT last night.
That's crazy.
He just likes doing the ha ha.
What a guy. I like Shaq even more than I already did now after that.
Goat.
Exactly. All right, guys. We appreciate everybody tuned in, hearing us on a different day this week. Hopefully we could bounce back this week in our picks. Ben, it's been a pleasure as always, man.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk to everyone soon. Peace.